Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we're going to find out things we probably didn't know about Lewis and Clark National Historical Park. Because in the studio, I have Scott Tucker. He is the superintendent of the Lewis and Clark National Historical Park, which is right here in the Columbia Pacific region. Hi, Scott. I'm glad to have you here today.
Good morning, Donna. Thanks for having me.
Before we talk about our park, of course, all the parks in the United States are our parks. This just happens to be our neighborhood park. Please tell the listening audience about your career, about your background.
No, sure. Wonderful. Once again, thanks for having me this morning. My family and I moved to town, I think, 2 years ago this week. And so we're real excited to be celebrating that sort of anniversary. And my wife and I, looking back at what we've experienced over the last 2 years, the National Park Service brought us here. And my career sort of spans back, I guess, about almost 19 years now working for the federal government. Sort of made a left turn out of college where I was did my student teaching to teach social studies in the high school or middle school level, and decided that wasn't the fit for me, and went on a whirlwind vacation of Colorado, where I grew up, with my parents. And we went to Mesa Verde National Park, and I went on a ranger program, just like a visitor anywhere else. And I finished that program, and I said to my dad, I can do that. I can still be a teacher, but I don't have to be in the classroom. And so I got really lucky. The first Park Service job I applied for was in Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park in Skagway, Alaska. And so I was 22, hopped in my car, and I drove to Alaska. And I worked seasonally. So I was almost I was a 22-year-old snowbird. I played golf in the winter in Arizona with my grandfather's house, and I worked in Skagway at Klondike Gold Rush for 2 years. And great time, great experience, and I knew right then this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, and I can still be an educator. From Alaska, I found myself in Washington, D.C., and jumped around several parks, and so I went from Skagway, Alaska, population 800, to Washington, D.C., standing on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, where I worked as a park ranger in the National Mall. So all the monuments, the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the Korean War Memorial, the FDR Memorial. And so I did that for 2 years. Was one of the greatest experiences of my life, interacting with thousands and thousands of people and teaching history. And then I got real lucky, and my first dabble with the Lewis and Clark story was during the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, which had a great impact on the community here. But I led a interpretive exhibit, the Core of Discovery 2, for about 8 months. I kicked it off, and we followed the Lewis and Clark Trail out of Washington, D.C., and the Corps of Discovery made its visit to the Pacific Coast. We took that exhibit on the anniversary, 200 years in the footsteps of the Corps of Discovery. So that was my first dabble with the Corps of Discovery. Returning from that detail to get that project started, I left the National Park Service, and I went to the Smithsonian Institution. And from there was another great piece that sort of shaped who I am. I worked as the manager of visitor services for the National Museum of the American Indian, which opened in 2003. And so I helped create that visitor program and access to, I think that first year we had about 5 million visitors that walked through the doors. But then I jumped back to the park. I wanted to get back outside. And so from there, I managed President's Park in Washington, D.C., which is the 54 acres surrounding the White House and all the public activities at the White House. So White House tours and that crowd mess, that crowd control of the visitors that want to make their way to the White House. And then the national significant events like the White House Easter egg roll and the Christmas tree lighting and all the First Amendment activities that happen on Pennsylvania Avenue on National Park Service property.
You had to have a lot of security clearance.
So, a lot of security clearance. A lot of things in the back of my head that will stay in the back of my head. But a great experience of just seeing Americans and visitors from around the world experience what America is all about. But being in D.C. for 15 years and having a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old, my wife and I decided it was time to get out of the big city, get out of the hour-long commutes. And so we looked for parks that my wife can continue her career with.
Oh, your wife is also with
the Parks. My wife is not in the Parks Service, but she's also a federal employee. Okay. She works for the Government Accountability Office, which magically has a field office in Seattle. So we look for parks that were a place that we could both continue our careers. And so Astoria was one of those locations. So my wife transferred to the field office and teleworks from here in Astoria, like many folks do. She makes her way up to Seattle 2 days every pay period. So every couple weeks, she goes to Seattle for a couple of days and shows her face in the office and gets some FaceTime with her coworkers. And then she works from our house down here at the east end of town the rest of the time.
And you get to live and near, you live near and work in.
Exactly. So then Lewis I get, and then I live, of course, within a very short commute compared to what I used to do to Lewis and Clark National Historical Park, headquartered at Fort Clatsop.
And you're happy you like it.
We're really happy. And of course, you know, since it hasn't rained in 3 weeks, we're even happier at this time.
Well, yes.
We've been lucky on the weather front. My neighbor and I have a running joke of when it's going to get nasty, and we haven't seen it yet in 2 years.
Really? Okay, so you moved here. The weather's not been a factor for you. Okay. Well, all right. Now, let's talk a little bit about the history of the park, because it wasn't always Lewis and Clark National Historical Park.
Yeah, correct. So Lewis and Clark National Historical Park was created by the United States Congress in 2004. But as you said, Fort Clatsop has been here for many years, at least the replication Fort Clatsop. The Corps of Discovery was here 200 years ago, 1805, 1806, as they made their way past where we are right now, looking up this hillside where Meriwether Lewis found the location of Fort Clatsop, where it is today. The area had been homesteaded over the years, and so by the 1850s, the Fort Clatsop area was a homestead, and it was clear cut, and it was working land. So the soil had been turned, and it was a farm in a sense. And by the turn of the century, right around 1900, for the centennial of the Lewis and Clark exploration, the state of Oregon came in and secured the site. They put up a flagpole, they put up a plaque. The plaque was stolen a few times. When the National Park Service was created in 1916, 99 years ago, we'll be celebrating our 100th anniversary next year. In 1916, the state of Oregon started to lobby this new entity, the National Park Service, to come in and take ownership of this story, in a sense. And the Park Service at that time said, no, it's more of it's a state story. It's a local story. We're not ready for that yet. And it sort of stayed that way. In the 1950s, the local community came together and said, you know what, we need to commemorate the Corps of Discovery and this story here. And so for the 150th anniversary, the local community built the replication Fort Clatsop that many of the listeners have visited over the years. And it was after that replication was created that they lobbied once again to the National Park Service to look at creating this as a national park site. And so in 1958, Fort Clatsop National Memorial was created by the United States Congress. And so that memorial was 120 acres, and it told the story of Lewis and Clark and the winter encampment at Fort Clatsop. Jump ahead another 50 years to the 200th anniversary. So everything happens with anniversaries, because that's what we all know, that anniversaries are when action sort of happens. So 100th anniversary, the state of Oregon found the site. 150th anniversary, the community built a fort. The 200th anniversary, the bicentennial, 2003 to 2006, Lewis and Clark National Historical Park was created, and it expanded the mission of the National Park Service here at the mouth of the Columbia to incorporate not only Fort Clatsop, but six other Lewis and Clark sites, both in Oregon and Washington. And so that 120 acres of Fort Clatsop National Memorial expanded to almost 2,500 acres of Lewis and Clark National Historical Park, with sites in Seaside, like the Salt Works, where the Corps sent men down to make salt during the winter of 1805-06, to sites in Washington, Middle Village and Station Camp. The Dismal Niche campsite is now protected, and Cape Disappointment State Park in Washington is a partnership between the National Park Service and the state of Washington.
That's quite a change. And you also have, on August 25th, it's the 99th birthday.
Exactly. So the big challenge that the National Park Service has is we're moving into the second century of preserving America. And when I sort of explain that, it's sort of the idea, not only do we want Lewis and Clark National Historical Park to be here in 5 years or 10 years, we want it to be here in 100 years or 200 years so that our grandkids and my great-great-great-great-grandson can come to the Fort Clatsop and say, hey, you know, my family was part of this story. And so the challenge for the National Park Service as we move into the next century is how do we maintain and preserve these places and let folks know and visitors and locals know the simple idea of find your park. Go find your connection. Lewis and Clark National Historical Park can mean so many things to so many people. It can mean that connection of their elementary school teacher, Tom Wilson, doing interpretive programs in the summer, you know, 20 years after they left their classroom. It can mean it's the place you go and run on our 15 miles of trail. It could mean that it's that spot that you disappear into the woods hoping to find that special mushroom or pick that perfect blackberry. It can also mean that you just engulf yourself in our museum and all the other stories that are not told, the stories of York, the stories of Sacagawea, the stories of the other men of the Corps that aren't sort of that Fab Five.
So really, this Find Your Park is kind of something that you are working on to so that local, so that regional, because you have lots of outside visitors.
Exactly.
But you want the local community to really embrace the park, be part of the park. I mean, a one-year pass is only $10. All of us should have passes so that we support our neighborhood national park.
Exactly. So Lewis and Clark National Historical Park has a budget of about $1.6 million. We have 18 full-time employees, but if you go out to the Fort Clatsop today, you'll see probably 48 people working, and that includes local high school students working for the summer, local college students home for the summer working for us in internships, college professors from Ohio that come here every year to spend the summer with our visitors. And so we get about 250,000 visitors a year, which is good numbers for what we are. But the visitors we don't get are those in the local community. And that's my goal. My goal is for the people of Clatsop County, Pacific County, to know that this is your park. It's your resource. These are your hiking trails. It's your fort. And something as simple as Natal Landing, which is just down from Fort Clatsop, which was the bus barn during the bicentennial, now is an evening picnic spot. And so you can come down at 6 o'clock on a Saturday night. Fort Clatsop is well closed, but have a family picnic out along the Lewis and Clark River.
All right. Use your national park, your neighborhood national park, Lewis and Clark National Historical Park, and you can support them with getting a pass and 15 miles of hiking trails, picnic areas, kayaking opportunities. And there's programming year-round, and we're coming into the summer programs.
Yeah, definitely. Summer programs are kicking off, so I have to put a plug in for our summer camps. We have two wonderful summer camps that happen in the month of July. Our first summer camp are for 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, and that is July 13th to the 17th. And that is a nature camp where the last day of that camp, the campers spend the night in Fort Clatsop on the bunks inside the fort.
And my nephews did that a few years ago and loved it. It was fabulous. They've done both the nature camp and the survival camp, and I cannot recommend it highly enough. If you have not yet signed up your child, there are only a couple of spots left in these camps.
Correct. Few spots left. So nature camp is July 13th to the 17th, and survival camp is July 20th through the 24th. Survival camp actually ends with two nights of camping out at Sunset Beach on National Park Service property out there at the Yon property. And so great partnerships of getting youth outdoors. And both of these camps have bilingual opportunities this year. And so don't let communication be a deterrent. Anyone and everyone can participate.
So the bilingual, then you're having Spanish.
Correct, Spanish. So we have two great interns from California this year that are in two different national programs, and both of them are bilingual, and they are excited to bring what we have and the stories we tell in these camps to the local Hispanic and Latino community.
Oh, that's terrific, Scott. Absolutely. All right, and if you're interested in these summer camps for relatives, neighbors, you can go to the website, which is nps.gov/lewi. But you can also call the Lewis and Clark National Historical Park. Kathy Peterson is the one who organizes that.
And I can give you her direct number for camps. If you're interested in camps, 503-861-4422. And Kathy will answer all questions, concerns, and get your kids signed up for a great experience.
It's just a terrific program. You also are planning, you're doing a new something in the fall you're doing with art.
Yeah, so we're part of that Park Service birthday is to reach out and create new opportunities. And so one of the things we're going to do on September 20th is we're going to partner with some local artists, and we're going to have an event titled Art in the Park, where we're going to turn the 2.5 mile Quisquis Trail into an art experience. That project right now is in the development stage, so I don't have all the details, but if you come out on the 20th, you're going to be able to hike the Quisquis Trail and have a very unique experience of a Leave No Trace art exhibition that is going to be put out along that entire trail that will disappear at the end of the day, and you'll never know it's even there.
That's really exciting. So the trails, a lot of people are familiar with the Fort de Cie
Correct.
Trail. And where is the trail you're just speaking
of? So the Fort de Cie Trail, pretty easy to figure out. That one goes from the fort to the sea. That's 6.5 miles. But from Fort Clatsop itself, within the Fort Clatsop unit, you have 15 miles of hiking trail that can be accessed either from the Fort Clatsop Visitor Center or from the Fort de Cie Trailhead right off of Fort Clatsop Road. And then the third location is Natal Landing. That's also a jumping-off point to all of our trails. So the Quisquis Trail on September 20th, you can start right at Fort Clatsop Visitor Center, hike a short little trail to the trailhead.
Okay, art that disappears at the end of the day. I'm really fascinated by that.
So it'll be music. It'll be sounds like some tastings of local cuisine. It'll be some art installations installed along the trail, and a sort of a unique experience partnering with some of our local creative minds.
And that is happening this fall, even though next year is the big year, the 100-year celebration. We're going to talk about that in a second. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today I'm speaking with Scott Tucker. Scott is the superintendent of Lewis and Clark National Historical Park right here in the Columbia Pacific region. And we've been speaking about all the opportunities for people to find your park, to interact with the park, and summer programming. And next year is the 100-year celebration in all 407 parks in the United States.
That's right. So Teddy Roosevelt gave a great gift, which Ken Burns dubbed the America's Greatest Idea in 1916 when the National Park Service was created. Today, 407 units. We are one of those units that tell the stories of America from World War II to the Founding Fathers in Independence Hall to the majestic beauty of places like the Grand Canyon, Yellowstone, Yosemite, and, of course, our park right here, Lewis and Clark. So great opportunities to find your park nationwide coming up in the next year in ways that Astoria, Warrenton, Seaside, and Pacific County in Washington are jumping in on numerous ways. One is that art piece that we're going to experiment with in the fall. But we also are working on some fitness ideas, ways that people can use your park for mental and physical benefit. And with the local CHART group, the CHART is a health group of locals founded with Clatsop County Public Health, we get together once a month and we just share ideas of how to get people in a better health scenario. The Way to Wellville came out of that group that Clatsop County is participating in. And so one of the pieces that I'm taking the lead with is a park prescription program for the Centennial, which is partnering with CMH here in Astoria.
Columbia Memorial Hospital.
Providence Seaside Hospital in Seaside, Astoria Parks and Recreation here in Astoria, as well as Sunset Empire Parks and Rec in Seaside, and Way to Wellville in Clatsop County. And we're coming together to create a way for medical providers to provide not only medication for ailments, but to prescribe physical fitness and well-being. So if the program goes as we are pointing it in, by this fall, local providers will look at at-risk patients for diabetes, high cholesterol, heart problems and say, not only do you need this medication, or rather this medication, you should go take a hike 3 days a week. You should go down to the rec center and take a yoga class. You should go swimming a couple days a week. So we're working right now on a grant that will hopefully provide doctors the opportunity to hand you a prescription that says, take this prescription to Lewis and Clark National Historical Park, and they will give you a one-year pass to all the hiking trails, not only in Lewis and Clark, but in the other state parks up here as well, because we have a regional pass for $35 that also gives access to Akola State Park and Fort Stevens. And so here's a pass that says go out into your public lands and enjoy and be healthy. But also here's a punch card to either Astoria or Seaside Parks and Rec that'll let you experience their indoor opportunities, swimming pools, fitness classes, yoga classes, or weight rooms. And so if all goes well, that program will launch late July, early August.
I love the idea of a part prescription. That would solve so many issues, whether it's, you know, mental, physical, spiritual, just being in the natural world.
Correct. We did a great hike back in February that we partnered with Providence Seaside, and we brought Dr. Morse, who was one of their cardiologists, to the park. He spoke for 20 minutes to a crowd of 100 folks that came out for it. So he spoke for 20 minutes for 100 visitors that were all local. And then we took them on a hike with one of our rangers for 3 miles.
That is fabulous. Congratulations. That is the way of the future. This has to happen, this integration.
And that's exactly it. So I encourage everyone to find your park, find a way that you can connect, take a hike, walk your dog on a leash, please. Take a jog, take a run, and just sort of experience what nature has to offer.
You also have opportunities for volunteers locally.
Correct. So we are busy every day. Come out to the fort and you will see, like I said, 250,000 visitors a year. We have volunteer opportunities with our Interpretation and Education Division, working at our information desk, helping visitors find their way around this park, in a sense, all seven sites. We have volunteer opportunities with our natural resource staff to work with invasive species management. We have volunteer opportunities with our trails to provide eyes and ears on our trail system as volunteer trail guides. We have volunteer opportunities with our facility staff to help us build and maintain our trails. And so no matter what your excitement is, we probably have a piece that will link with that. We have volunteer opportunities in our library helping with our collection. So if you're interested in public service and giving back to your community, and we are a community park, when Fort Clatsop burnt back in 2005, which many of your listeners may remember, within the next day, we already had enough phone calls to secure funding to replace it in full. Within one day, the community came back and said, you know what, we're going to do this. We are a national park, but we are a community park. We are this area.
We need to support this amazing and important resource. The other thing I think that's interesting that we talked about before we came on the air here is this idea that because we're a small to medium park, we're not a huge park like the ones in Alaska, you are involved with a group of other park superintendents in Oregon and Washington to share resources.
Correct. So we are a government institution. Our budgets are limited. We can probably talk for hours on the federal budget, which we will not today, but we do leverage our resources. And so we do have large and small parks within the Pacific Northwest. And Lewis and Clark, we are just one of what we call our network, which is Fort Vancouver in Vancouver, Washington, an hour and a half drive. If you haven't been there, it's a great day trip.
It's beautiful.
Mount Rainier, Olympic National Park, North Cascades National Park, San Juan Islands National Historic Park, Eby's Landing. If you haven't been to Eby's Landing, it is a historical preserve just north of Seattle, and Klondike Gold Rush, Seattle. We partner and share resources like scientists. We don't have a need for a full-time, we don't have the need or the resources to have a full-time ologist of whatever that specialty is.
Biologists.
Scientists. But we do have a need seasonally. And so we share resources.
Which is wise. So
when we need assistance, we call Mount Rainier and we have their glaciologists come down and help us with a project we might be having with sea level rise. And so we share those resources and expertises rather than having just generalists.
Well, that's really smart financially and in every other way. We also didn't mention, we only have a few minutes left, Scott, and I want to let you say whatever you want to say to listening audience. We didn't talk about the fourth graders and the...
Yeah, so another great piece that's coming with the National Park Service birthday. Department of Interior and President Obama announced a couple months ago, every kid in a park this coming school year, the 15-16 school year, every fourth grader in America is going to have the opportunity to pick up a free national park and federal lands pass that will be good for 1 year to give them access to all federal lands, BLM, fish and wildlife, and national forest sites. We're really looking forward to that. We at Lewis and Clark already have great interaction with our fourth graders. 2,200 fourth graders came to Fort Clatsop last year. But this is an opportunity for us to get them to us and show them all these other resources they can make their way to.
There's so much going on, Scott. I think we have to have you on the program again in the fall before the art piece that you're doing, the experiment, to talk about more of the things, because I know that you all have a challenge, too, that you're the employees are doing at racking up miles and things.
Yeah, so stay tuned, everyone, for a fitness challenge that's going to start on August 25th, 2015. We're going to challenge the local community to have their bodies move 2016 miles before August 25th, 2016 for the Park Service birthday. So stay tuned. We're going to put you in teams of 5 to 10, or you're going to put yourselves in teams of 5 to 10, and hopefully make that challenge for Clatsop County. The other piece that come find us at the Sunday Market. We'll be at the Sunday Market again this year, starting July 5th, and we'll be there July 5th to the end of August. Different topics and different themes every week. The Clatsop Nehalem, which is one of our partners, they will be joining us on July 26th with Dragonfly, their carved out cedar canoe. So come down and meet Dragonfly. On July 12th, Carla Cole, our natural resource manager, is going to be down talking about pollinators. Bees are a big business right now, and bees are having major problems across the country. Come down and see Carla. She's going to talk to you about pollinators and the importance of flowers, and pick up some seed packets. And if you can't make it to the fort, come join us at the market.
I'm glad you're going to be there, because that's a great way for people to interact. And also, people can visit the website, nps.gov/lewi. And you can call the park, 861-2471. Area code 503. Lots of ways to interact. The Find Your Park is a great idea. Yeah. Scott, any last little thing? We have about 30 seconds.
30 seconds. We are doing some maintenance next week, pavement preservation. So we will be open, but be patient if you're coming out to see us. We're going to be repaving our parking lots.
All right.
As much fun as that sounds. Scott, that's the other part of my job that I love is pavement.
You are a wealth of information, Scott Tucker. Thank you so much for being here today. Scott is the superintendent of Lewis and Clark National Historical Park. There is a way for each person listening to this program today to interact with this park. It's healthy for you, healthy for the park. We want to keep that going, that legacy. You're absolutely right.
Definitely. Please join us and experience it's your park.
Exactly. Good for all of us. Thank you so much, Scott, for being here. I appreciate you taking the time. Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, thank you so much. And my appreciation to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. And another little reminder, those summer camps, there are just a couple of spots left. I really encourage you to call Kathy Peterson at the park and sign up a young person. It can be a life-changing experience. Just like what happened with you, Scott.
Exactly.
Rangers. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. We get so busy, we forget to take a deep breath, and that sends calming signals to our bodies. And focus on all the good things in your life and on feeling good, appreciating what is going well in your life, even though there will always be those things that aren't going well. Just focus on the things that are and expand on those, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, the only one. For doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.